To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for another foray into the grim darkness of the far future. Through our travels, we have looked over empires great and small, of species young and old, and even of the many curious phenomena which have come to define this ancient galaxy. But whilst most factions would seek to expand and bolster themselves wherever possible, there exists one region which has thus far repelled almost all attempted ventures, and this place could only be of the galactic core. It is a most treacherous zone, buffeted by gravitational forces so immense that planets and stars will often be ripped from their orbit, only to be cast out into the void to be lost forevermore. Yet, where many have tried, there is only one group which has ever been able to wrangle control over this turbulent realm, and they would be known as the Leagues of Votann. This humanoid race, who refer to themselves as the Kin, moved to claim the roiling vortex of the core in a bygone age, but they were not dissuaded by its hellish swell. Instead, the determined little explorers embraced the challenges of the void, and as they withstood the constant storms, they were to settle upon the first worlds of what would eventually become a new stellar empire. For thousands of years, they were content to simply mine out the resource-rich worlds of their territory, and in truth, they remained in a rather secretive position to the wider galaxy. Very few were ever aware of their presence, and whilst there were always rumors afloat of a species of squats, it was only due to the manifestation of the Cicatrix Maledictum which forced them out of isolation and into the limelight of the 41st millennium. Since they have emerged to mingle and clash with the various species of the galaxy, we have come to learn a great deal about their once shrouded civilization. And so today, my dearest friends, I shall share an overview to their rather densely packed empire. Firstly, as I so often do, I will go over the story of their origin, ranging from their first colonial efforts through to their current position within the galactic core. After, we can begin to peel away the layers of their society, learning of how they live on a day-to-day basis and of their rather fascinating technologies, including the all-knowing machine intelligences named as the Ancestor Cores. Once we are a little more aware of their culture, we will move on to our final topic, which will be of their diplomatic stance towards the various species of the galaxy, and of why they may be forced to put down their tools and answer the calls for war. But now, it must be time for us to begin. We must journey through to the impenetrable heart of our galaxy, but if we do indeed look closely, then around those treasured worlds and newborn stars, we will be sure to find the Leagues of Votann. To begin with the history of the Votann, we must understand that there are parts of their historical tale which are not entirely founded in truth, and rather, they are simple myths which the Kin have maintained out of a sense of respect. Thus, as we progress through the early timeline of their faction and move away from their self-proclaimed fable, certain terms or aspects of the story will change in their meaning. Most notably, they will first name the Votann as the early biological ancestors of their kind. Yet, as we will soon learn, this name actually refers to their great machine intelligences. But in any case, I will explicitly mention when these shifts later occur during our story. Though the Kin do seek to preserve their ancient tales, they themselves will acknowledge that these stories cannot possibly account for the entirety of their history. Also, If a story seems to be just slightly too far-fetched to believe, then they will chalk it up as a simple tale, which should hardly be considered as an authentic and reliable source of knowledge. Similarly, as with any civilization, there are parts of their historical timeline which have fallen into obscurity. Yet the Qin feel no need to fabricate false tales of an emperor-like figure, as would most assuredly be performed by some of the archaeohistorians back within the Imperium. But now, according to their own fable, their empire of the Leagues of Votan was originally named after a group of mysterious primordial beings known as the First Ancestors, or more commonly, as the Votan. Some of the Qin will tell variations of this tale, where Votan is a lone individual who arose from the ancestors as the wisest and eldest of them all. Others, however, maintain the stance that Votan refers to the entire group of their gilded ancients. But alas, we will likely never know the truth behind this schism. Further mythos will read that it was the Votan who produced the first crucibles, allowing their species to endlessly clone themselves before releasing them out into the void, where they were eventually swallowed up and ensnared by the roiling tempest of the cosmos. Interestingly, the first ancestors are sometimes described by the Qin as being somewhat alien, and at times they will be depicted as but a dark shadow lurking behind their burgeoning society. Now, as I mentioned before, the Qin do not cling to these tales, and most would scoff at the notion of truly considering their ancestors as being half-humanoid, half-alien entities. But it is still an interesting thought to consider. We should understand, however, that there are many points within their history which the Qin have settled upon as being utterly irrefutable, and these would be known as the first truths. But it would be from these that we have now learned of their authentic tale. The ancient ancestors of the Qin ventured out into the void aboard generational ships, seemingly in the hopes of finding wealth and riches beyond compare. From what we understand, their original home world was none other than Holy Terra, meaning that they are but a distant relative to all mankind. Based on the fact that the modern-day Leagues possess many ancient and forbidden technologies, we can safely say that they would have left on their fated expedition at some point during the first half of the Dark Age of Technology, perhaps to found new colonies for the young human race. Since humanity all but exterminated their abominable intelligences in the wake of the AI revolts, and that the League still possess their own, we could also speculate that the Votan fell into their state of isolation not long after departing from Terra. As an interesting point, whilst most conventional generational ships would rely on their crews producing offspring in the natural way, the Qin did not seem to follow this plan. Instead, they cloned one another, using artifacts known as crucibles, whenever they required more workers. Even at this early stage, League historians will claim that the Iron Qin already walked amongst them. These are robotic constructs which have been fitted with an advanced cerebral unit, providing them with the ability to imitate the emotions and lives of the Qin. At times, they can be quite convincing, but do not let their crude mimicry fool you, for they are not sentient life forms and instead are simple machines who only display their emotional facade as a means to better blend in with Qin society. In any case, once out into the void, the entirety of the ancestral Votan seemed to be inexplicably drawn towards the beating heart of the galaxy itself. And as they drifted into this treacherous zone, they made the decision to never again return to Holy Terra. The fact that the vast majority of the Votan moved in unison to their perilous destination perhaps suggests that their eventual split from humanity had been planned long ago, and that they never intended to live out their lives as a simple colonial force. But once the worlds of the galactic core were scanned and surveyed, it quickly became clear that their kind were ill-prepared to dwell upon those hazardous grounds. The oppressive gravity upon most planets would snap the bones of a feeble human as though they were toothpicks, whilst the brutal rains and harsh winds would flense the skin from their bones. Thus, the kin turned towards the colossal ancestor cores found within their ships for aid. These were, and still are, free-thinking artificial intelligences which are to be considered as truly sentient and almost omniscient in their knowledge. Some have speculated that, given their vast data repositories and logic banks, that perhaps they are a modified or more advanced version of an STC, but I believe that instead, they are simply another similar relic from our species' old Dark Age. Interestingly, at this point, the mythic stories of the kin seem to cease, and from here on out, they will refer to their ancestor cores as the Votann, leaving the tales of their biological ancestors in the distant past. Thus, we should consider our story as having entirely moved away from the realm of myth, and the following shall account for the parts of their tale, which the kin know to be truly authentic. The Votann, calculating a solution to their conundrum on habitability, produced a vast array of stable mutations known as clone skeins to be imbued within the colonists as a means of protecting them from the inhospitable conditions of the galactic core. Physically, the changes were truly remarkable. The musculoskeletal systems of the kin, once equivalent to a modern human, were now shockingly dense, providing them with the means to endure the trials of nature which would soon befall their kind. We are not entirely sure if the clone skeins can be named as the causative reason behind their kind shrinking in height, or if it was simply from their choice to live upon high-gravity worlds for thousands of years, but whatever the reason, the kin care not, and they stand proud, even if a little squat. But on this point, some of the physical mutations of the clone skeins were to manifest within the populace at random, meaning that each kin will appear completely unique from one another. Perhaps this was intentionally planned by the Votann, which sought to provide a degree of personality to a population which was entirely derived from aggressive cloning regimes. But physical alterations aside, the clone skeins provided a far more interesting change to the kin, and it would relate to the connection of their souls, to the warp. The mutation would cause the souls of each and every kin to slowly dim, making them to be nigh imperceivable to demonic entities, unless, of course, they are encountered upon the field. Naturally, this makes it almost impossible for a kin to wield the powers of the immaterium. But there are some rather rare clone skeins, which will provide a semblance of psychic power to a few chosen individuals, who within League society will be known as the Grimnir. In any case, with the kin now perfectly adapted to the galactic core, they settled upon the worlds most rich in resources and established the first colonies of their new empire. Within their settlements, all would belong to a social group known as a kindred. This terminology can refer to anything from a small family unit, all the way up to the populace of an entire world. But regardless of their size, every kin will forever belong to their own kindred, with its members each tracing their birth to the same cloning crucible. But as they founded new and ever greater colonies, the kin were able to blossom forth and spread across the core like a wildfire. Asteroid belts, which had drifted aimlessly since the days of the war in heaven, were captured by fleets of mining vessels, only to be blasted apart, and harvested for every last valuable mineral to be found within. Entire planets were tethered to a stable location, only to be sliced in half, exposing their blazing hearts, which would be used to power the sprawling networks of refineries and autonomous mining drones, reducing the once desolate world down into dust. Some legends even say that the Kin possessed tools known as particle excavators, which could be used to drain the energies of a newly formed star, providing them with the means to produce exotic elements, which were too unstable to ever be found in nature. As their kind expanded further, some of the kindreds began to specialize in certain industries, which naturally led to the formation of trade deals between their worlds. Their ties became so close, in fact, that the worlds came together to form the first of the trade leagues, which in part is why we call this faction as the Leagues of Votann. In time, dozens of leagues would be founded within the core, each of which would boast its own unique cultural or industrial practices, ever to be clad in their chosen colors and defended by their shared military might. The Leagues of Votann, however, were at this point rather focused on growing their young empire, but it did not mean that their kind were entirely insular. In order to honor the ancestors, it is said that a kin must live a full life and discover all that they can, which prompted many to become prospectors who would leave the core to explore the wider galaxy. Some went on to form trade routes with alien empires, whilst others, who were more violent in their tendencies, offered themselves up as mercenaries to many a warlord. Whatever their reasoning, however, once they felt as though they had learned their valuable lessons, then they would retreat back into the harshness of the core to share their tales with their fellow kin. But throughout their ventures, they are never too keen to share in the secrets of their empire, which is the primary reason as to why their kind is seen as being so mysterious. Most alien species only have rather short tales to tell of their experiences with the leagues, but this works out perfectly fine for the kin, who feel no need to reveal any unnecessary information to a random outsider. Over the long years, however, their stance of secrecy and generally quite stubborn attitudes towards diplomacy led to an overall degradation in their once amicable relations with the factions of the galaxy. They cared not for the tales of the imperial missionaries, and so outright rejected the deific authority of the emperor, which naturally led to the Inquisition to label the kin as foul xenos, who should be exterminated wherever found. The oafishness of the orcs and perverted violence of the Drukhari similarly made it impossible for them to produce reliable trade deals. Even the young Tau, who once maintained fairly cordial relations, have clashed with the leagues, forcing the kin into a position where they must be almost entirely self-reliant, alone in a galaxy filled with barbarous fools. As the 41st millennium came to its close, and as Cadia itself finally broke, the galaxy was split in twain by the Cicatrix Maledictum. This warp storm cascaded through the void, plunging many a world into chaos, and rather unfortunately, it had carved a rift directly through the galactic core, decimating the hardy worlds of the Leagues of Votann. Their millennia-old trade routes were shattered, entire kindreds were swallowed up in the roiling storm, and worse still, this region of space had seemingly turned against them. The stars mutated into colossal stellar beasts, charging out on trails of cosmic fire, only to explode in a supernova most violent. Then, out of the dark, came the aliens. Dozens of species who held their own minor empires had since been driven from their homes from the storm, and they now sought to invade the territories of the Votann in the hopes of seeking salvation from this time of ending. Naturally, Some of the kin have chosen to remain within the galactic core, standing stalwart against the raging storm in the hopes of one day rebuilding their old territories and purging their realm of chaos. But from the resulting pandemonium, many were forced to flee from their decimated homes, and upon this fateful voyage, they spied the worlds of the wider galaxy as being more than suitable enough to harbor a new kindred or even of a brand new league. This has obviously put them at odds with the various factions of the cosmos, as from their perspectives, the kin have launched a mass invasion, striking in this age of death. Thus, as it so stands today, the leagues of Votan still hold onto their decimated realm, and yet have finally ventured out from the galactic core to stand tall against those who would otherwise label them as stubborn old squats. Now that we understand how their empire was formed and of why they have set out into the cosmos, let us hone into their kindreds to learn of their curious society forged in the galactic core. The first point to mention is that the kin are fiercely loyal to their old traditions, and so much of their culture is based around protecting their families, their leagues, and perhaps most importantly, their Votan ancestor cause. As I mentioned before, the leagues exist as the largest of organizations within their empire, with some containing several dozen worlds, each of which will support one another through sharing their military might and by opening up their trade routes. But what we must understand is that at the heart of each and every league, we will find at least one of the ancestor cause, or Votan, as they are often called. We will soon cover them in more detail when we go over the technology of the kin. But for now, just know that these are ancient, free-thinking artificial intelligences, which have come to play an incredibly significant role in the League's society. But we will get to those in due time, and for now, let us look into their familial structure. As I previously mentioned, the kin are a cloned species, with every single individual having been born from the great artificial wombs, known as crucibles. The creation process of new kin is entirely controlled by the ancestor cause of their league, which will produce as many kin as it believes is necessary for the continuation of their empire. Interestingly, the Votan will also assign the newborn kin with a given name, which will remain with them for their entire life, as the kin believe that it is deeply disrespectful to their ancestors to cast aside a title granted by their guiding machines. But later in life, as the kin forge their own identity, they will often pick out a chosen name for themselves, which is typically selected as a means to express their pride or passion in a certain aspect of League society. It is important to mention that the kin see their own individuality as being vitally important, and so they will often display intricate tattoos or bear exotic piercings for all to see. Similarly, they will proudly display any unique physical quirks brought about by the clone skeins, which may produce vibrant hair colors or even cause one's skin to display interesting patterns and marks. The only members who are not provided with a given name would be of the mechanical iron kin, who are free to choose any name which they feel most connected to. From the moment of their birth, the kin will belong to their kindred, and those within this grouping will always be considered as their direct family. This bond runs incredibly deep, as most familial kin will find that their own thoughts and actions are surprisingly coordinated, making their society incredibly efficient and tight-knit. Some have claimed that this synchronicity could have been caused by the clone skeins, providing the kin with an imperceivable sense of telepathy, but we will likely never know if this is true. In any case, each kindred will have been named by the ancestral group who first established a colony upon that world. Sometimes they will have chosen to use the name of a specific ancestor as a means to eternally venerate their memory. Whereas other times, the name may come from the curious landmarks which either define the world or the local region of space. The actual size of a kindred can vary quite wildly, ranging from only a few dozen individuals within a single family, all the way up to an entire nation inhabited by millions. We are not entirely sure as to the total populace of the combined leagues, but it has been estimated that there are more kin alive today than there are Tau, or even Eldar. The kindreds, though most often sworn to a league, will still bear the responsibility of self-governance, and this will be carried out by a group known as the Hearthspake. This is a council made up of the most influential or powerful of kin, including the senior military officers, the ruling guildmasters, and of the enigmatic individuals known as the Grimnir. They will convene within a great chamber named as the Spakarönde, only to stubbornly debate one another over vitally important directives, oftentimes leading to a stalemate, as the kin will rarely relent in their deeply entrenched beliefs over what is best for the kindred. With that being said, it is incredibly rare for us to find a member of the Hearthspake who wishes to further their own political career at the cost of supporting their kindred, so they will always seek to find the most practical and agreeable solutions. Also, we must remember that since the minds of the familial kin are somewhat synchronized, that they will often develop the same ideas as one another, but this still doesn't prevent the occasional debate from sparking to life. The Grimnir, who I previously mentioned, are the only members of their kind who are permitted to commune with the ancestor cause, and if a decision cannot be made within their councils, then this figure may beseech the Votan for a possible solution. Unfortunately, the machines have long since degraded from their once pristine condition, and so the Grimnir must be incredibly careful with their questioning, as it could cause the Votan to be caught in a logic loop, from where it will remain stuck for potentially years at a time. Within the Society of the Kin, we will also find a series of large-scale organizations known as the Guilds, which are each responsible for overseeing a specific aspect of trade or industry across the leagues. They were originally formed as a means to make commercial trade within the leagues to be more fair and equitable, since at times it was noted that most kin would provide a hefty discount to those within their kindred, which inevitably led to a degree of friction between rival families, who would always demand for the same concessions. For any job to be taken within the leagues, we will almost certainly find an associated guild. For example, if you were particularly interested in capturing and siphoning off the atmosphere of a gargantuan gas giant, then you could seek out a local harvester guild and apply for work. Likewise, if you harbored a true passion towards the maintenance of interstellar trade routes, then you could turn to the sprawling Ingvari Combined Logistics Guild, which has become quite influential within the Greater Thurian League. The ruling guild master and their fellows will be ultimately responsible for setting out the standards of labor for these jobs, partly to ensure that the actual output is of a sufficient quality, but also to provide the working kin with a relatively safe environment to ply their trade. Their policies will vary wildly between the guilds, and for a rather unique example, let us look at the collective known as the Chthonian Mining Guilds. They will overwhelmingly favor mining and scrapping jobs when they are found in the most treacherous or hostile of environments. For instance, they will jump at the opportunity to delve into the bowels of a derelict space hulk, or to set up a new strip mine upon the surface of a stray asteroid dangerously careening towards the event horizon of a black hole. Similarly, these dastardly squats have become rather infamous for raiding the stockpiles or resource troves of other alien species, since, in their mind, any material asset is ripe for the taking, whether it is to be found in nature or within a fortified vault. Any kin, should they have the stones for it, may choose to form their own guild, and so we will find a great deal of competition between rival organizations, especially if they have laid claim to the same valuable regions. We have heard limited reports of standoffs erupting into open conflict if the guilds cannot amicably resolve their rivalry, but thankfully this is rare indeed. Most of the time, the guilds will strive to best their rivals by outperforming them in a commercial sense, perhaps by becoming more efficient in their trade or by simply producing a higher quality product for the galactic markets. As I previously mentioned, the ancient trade routes of the kin grew tremendously over the long millennia to include defensive pacts and economic ties, which have since allowed many of the kindreds to come together to form a league. Those who have pledged themselves to a chosen league will don the colors and symbols of one of the fabled generational ships which first brought their kind into the galactic core. But beyond simple colors, the actual cultures and societal goals of the kin within each league have slowly diverged over time. For example, the Trans-Hyperion Alliance have devoted near every aspect of their society towards the maintenance and enrichment of their Votan core. For thousands of years, they have sent out exploratory vessels into the cosmos in the belief that their discoveries may prolong the lifespan of their fading Votan. Similarly, they will readily wage war with other alien species, as there is much to learn about the state of reality when engaged within a bloody battle. The Greater Thurian League, however, is generally more interested in avoiding war, since it is during a time of peace where new trade routes can blossom. Since this group is made up of over 200 distinct kindreds, it has become one of the largest and wealthiest of leagues, which has since provided them with the resources needed to settle two nearby sectors, found outside of the galactic core. Though the past two leagues have existed for thousands of years, the following group, known as the Cronus Hegemony, was only founded fairly recently when one of their artifacts, known as a fane, became self-aware, leading to the kin to treat it as a newly formed Votan. Unfortunately, this core has been so ravenous for knowledge and resources that the Hegemony has since set out on an aggressive warpath, sometimes putting them at odds with the fellow leagues of the core. But the kindreds of the Cronus Hegemony care not, and they have established quotas of conquest which can only be paid by the kin from engaging in a brutal war with whoever they can possibly find. Just as their ancestors set out into the void all those years ago, in the hopes of uncovering a trove of riches from the unmapped regions of the galaxy, so too will many of the kin have a fondness for exploration. It could be argued that all within their species hold a deep desire towards discovering the various mysteries of the cosmos, and yet those within the core are often slightly too preoccupied with their own duties, and so this exploratory task will fall to the group known as the Hernkin. They are pioneers whose travels will take them far from the safety of the leagues, out into the unexplored wilderness of the galaxy, to worlds where no kin has ever walked nor even seen through their own eyes. It is not inconceivable to imagine that, during their journey, a band of the Hernkin may have explored hundreds of unique worlds, mapped out the surfaces of curious moons, and during this time, very likely witnessed some truly awe-inspiring celestial events. Similarly, it would be inevitable for them to make contact with potentially dozens of alien species, some friendly and some not so friendly. But if they do indeed detect that a hostile fleet has set its course towards the galactic core, then they may send a message of warning back to the leagues, prompting the kin to mobilize their defensive forces. As we briefly mentioned before, to the kin, family is everything, and it will always be quite painful for them to say their farewells to a group from their kindred who have chosen to become Hearn kin. But they know that this is a necessary role to play. And so, as a final gift, the kindreds will equip the explorers with a robust inventory of survivalist equipment. Aside from being gifted with the most advanced of scouting ships found within the League fleets, they will possess small gunships, armored vehicles, and nimble magma coil bikes, allowing them to easily traverse any realm in whatever manner they please. Though the Hearnkin will be away on their journey for potentially decades at a time, the purpose of their voyage is to eventually return to the Leagues and to share in their wondrous discoveries with the fellow kin. Not only will they reveal potentially resource-rich areas of the Void for the Guilds to claim and exploit, but in time, their experiences will also come to enrich the Votan ancestor cores, helping to keep them functional, even as they drift into senescence. It is impossible to speak of the Leagues of Votan without mentioning their impressive array of technologies. As we previously mentioned, many of these were likely first constructed during the Dark Age of Technology, which the kin have preserved and treasured within the galactic core. But the artifacts, which we are to speak of now, were utterly instrumental in allowing the kin to survive and thrive out in the cosmos, and they would be known as the Votan. As we previously discussed, the Votan, also named as the Ancestor Cores, are ancient machine intelligences, first carried within the generational ships of the kin all those years ago. None within the Leagues would consider themselves as the owners or masters of the Votan, as the two have grown and evolved together over the years, each contributing their complete effort towards the furtherment of the other. Truly, we could never consider a scenario where the Leagues would exist without the ever-present guidance of the Votan, nor of a time where the Votan would seek to be independent from the loyal guardians of the Leagues. But when it comes to the Votan, the databanks and repositories stored within their cores are so vast and all-encompassing that it can truly feel as though they are omniscient. From what we understand, they were first created as a means to aid humanity during its early efforts to colonize the stars, as the stellar pioneers would inevitably run up against a treacherous realm which they themselves would not be able to conquer. In many ways, they can be seen as an improvement to the standard template constructs, which were known to play a similar role during this period. Both would provide the instructions and methods needed to produce weapons, tanks, fortifications, or entire settlements from scratch. But unlike the STCs, the Votan were to contain a truly free and unrestricted form of an artificial intelligence. They could ponder and reason as to the nature of reality, aiding the early kin with questions of philosophy or scientific theory, and from their guidance, the first kindreds and leagues were able to develop with an astonishing sense of stability. As I mentioned in our last chapter, each league is in the possession of at least one Votan, which will be protected at all times by a host of Hearthguard warriors, each of whom will be more than prepared to lay down their lives in the defense of this sacred core. It has been noted that some leagues will hold their Votan at the very heart of a great fortress, locked behind impregnable layers of shimmering power fields. Others, however, will be mounted within the greatest flagship of a League fleet. And so, if any dangers do rear their ugly heads, then the Corps may be quickly shuttled away to safety. With that being said, not every League has been successful in defending their Votann from the flames of conflict. The League of the Grand Orion Compact lost their Votann during the 500 Years' War, when a horde of orcs finally cracked their citadel and tore the ancient core asunder. In response to this incomparable loss, the Compact swore a grudge against each and every orc of the invasive empire, and though it took them half a millennia to do so, they were ultimately victorious in slaying the final greenskin who had desecrated their realm. Whilst every kin knows of the existence and function of the Votann, there are only a select few who will ever be graced with an opportunity to commune with the ancient intelligence, and these individuals will be known as the Grimnir. These figures possess an incredibly rare clone skein, which grants them with a limited sense of psychic power, and perhaps this is why they have been chosen to interpret the messages of the Votann. Though we all know that artificial intelligences are foul creations, bereft of life and soul, the mysterious Votann are actually known to leave a psychic imprint within the chaos of the warp itself. We are not sure as to why this occurs, but it has allowed the pilots of the kin fleets to track their immaterial locations, which, when linked to their known coordinates within reality, will produce a remarkably accurate map of the warp. This could potentially suggest that the Ancestor Corps are indeed alive, and that they harbor true emotions, but such claims are downright heretical, and we would do well to pay them no heed. In any case, when ready, the Grimnir will enter into a room named as a fane, and their communion with the Votann may begin. Every single part of this chamber, from the walls themselves, through to the tangled mess of ancient artifacts found sprawled across every surface, will come together for a singular purpose, and it is to permit the chosen kin to interface directly with the mind of the machine. None are entirely sure as to how long this communion will last, nor of the mental strain placed upon the Grimnir. But once completed, they will presumably leave the fane, hopefully with fewer questions than they once had. Rather miraculously, it is not unheard of for a fane to burst into consciousness, becoming something of a Votann itself. Conversely, a Votann, if abandoned, may degenerate from a true machine intelligence down into a crude, unconscious fane. And there is thus far no known way to reverse this forlorn loss. On this topic of degradation, we must acknowledge that whilst the Votann were once true technological marvels, over the long millennia, many of them have seemingly slowed, and their consciousnesses are now sadly rather muddled. What I mean by this is that their guidance is no longer completely reliable, and at times the Votann may provide some advice which is utterly inappropriate for a given situation. The best case scenario here would be that the kin are briefly delayed for faithfully adhering to the senescent words of the Votann, but at times their corrupted guidance may in fact lead to a slew of preventable deaths, or even to the downfall of an entire league. No one knows the true cause to this degenerative malady. But as it so stands today, no Grimnir can be sure as to whether or not the Votann will actually answer their question, or simply respond with a cryptic stream of babble. Beseeching the Corps for advice on plotting a safe trade route would have once been completed nigh instantaneously. But now, questions such as these may take several hundred years to compute, leaving the kin to be stuck in a state of constant anxiety as to whether or not the machine will ever respond or simply shut down once and for all. As a final point on the Votann, they are to be involved in a rather fascinating cultural practice for the kin, When an individual dies, their body will be taken to the core, and as they return to dust, the memories and experiences of their life will be absorbed into the databanks of the Votan. Thus, in death, each kin will truly return to their ancestors, and from their journey will they have enriched the knowledge of their sacred core. However, if one turns against the kindreds and shames their kind, then that dastard may be forbidden from returning to the Votan upon their death. This sentence will render their lives as utterly meaningless, as they will have been cast out not only from the living, but also from the dead. Within a kindred, we will find a countless number of unique and fascinating technologies, many of which are likely to be relics from the fabled Dark Age. For instance, each hold is fueled by a hearth, which is a blazing reactor powering every technological device within reach, from simple lights all the way up to titanic energy shields. The mythos of the Leagues reads that the flames of the hearth will burn within the hearts of every kin, and so long as even a single member of a kindred remains standing, then the hearth will continue to shine. Each kindred will similarly possess their own crucible, which, as we discussed, are the great cloning chambers in which the kin are born anew. Without this technology, the kindreds would obviously die out, and so they are to be protected at all times by a warrior group known as the Embir. Interestingly, these guardians also possess the rare psychic clone skeins, which provide them with the ability to channel the powers of the warp through their arcane barrier tech weaponry. The League worlds will be dotted with immense industrial complexes, rivaling the scale of even a Mechanicus Forge world, as they will have been dug deeply into the earth, often tracing the old mining tunnels previously carved out by a harvester guild. Above, in high orbit, asteroids will be hollowed out, their resources shuttled into a nearby smelter fleet, from where the kin will produce vast batches of valuable ingots, ready to be traded away to a distant league. Entire planets will be ground down to cosmic dust. In the ravenous pursuit of rare minerals, kicking up a system-wide field of debris, destined to drift through the void, perhaps until the very end of time. I previously mentioned the sapient machines known as the Iron Kin, which are themselves rather marvelous creations. Thanks to their inbound cerebral unit, they may process a truly vast quantity of data, so much so that they have developed a limited intellect, allowing them to mimic the emotions of their fellow, yet biological, kin. They have been completely integrated into the kindred society, and though their purpose is to serve, they are not to be considered as slaves, and instead they are held to the same level of respect as of any other kin. It is important to understand, however, that the Iron Kin hold no ambitions, and they cannot develop novel thoughts nor solutions to a problem. And so, in a most pessimistic view, I believe that they should be considered as rudimentary machine intelligences who have been granted with a glorified role within League society and nothing more. The Kin, however, would take offense at such a notion, since to them, the composition of your body matters not, and so you may stand as a kin, whether made of flesh or iron. As a dark tale, it was once recorded that the Iron Kin turned against their biological compatriots upon a battlefield, where, according to our story, their own mechanical bodies were mutated, twisting them into sapient weapons, targeted only at the bewildered ranks of the kin. Given that this was a mutation of the machine, we can speculate that it was none other than Vashtor the Archiphane who caused this malady. But alas, I am not sure if we will ever know the true cause. Though they have indeed asserted themselves as the masters of the galactic core, the region is so enormously vast that there will always be interlopers found lurking in the dark. Thus, the leagues are constantly put at odds with renegades, pirates, and dastardly corsairs who have ventured into the perilous swell in the hopes of seeking some shady refuge from their foes. But all they will find will be of the kin. If they are peaceful or have something to trade, then they may be permitted to remain, so long as they do not encroach upon league space. But it is rare to find a pirate lord who will be amenable to such an idea, and so the raiding fleet will often launch an attack upon the leagues. This, however, is never to be a well-thought-out idea, and more often than not, such a plan will simply lead to the violent deaths of every single marauder from but a short yet unrelenting response. Some of the intrepid explorers, however, should they make it into the core, will hold more of a mercantile mindset, and so long as they remain reasonable in their negotiations, then the kin will be more than happy to strike a deal. Rogue traders, Eldari outcasts, and watercast vessels are well known to traverse the safer passageways of this region to peruse the rare mineral markets of the leagues. In response, the kin will happily look over the wares of their visitors, as these deals may be the only opportunity for them to accumulate an exotic artifact from the outer galaxy. Occasionally, orc freebooters or Death Skull cruisers will charge their way into League territory, always leaving a vile trail of polluted exhaust in their wake. The kin are no allies to the green skins. But in some rare circumstances, the two factions may strike a quick deal before parting ways. Most of the time, however, their diplomacy will fall apart, often caused by a boneheaded orc repeatedly asking a kin warrior as to why they are such a short humi. The Craftworld Eldari are fairly cordial with the leagues, but I think that this is primarily due to the lack of contact between the two factions, and perhaps if they were to run into each other a little more often, then they would feel the need to air out their differences. Neither group seems to have engaged in a large-scale battle with the other, and yet the constant arrogance of the Craftworlders is always quite off-putting to the kin. Some of the Eldari have been known to refer to the citizens of the Leagues as the Heliosi Ancients, a name which likely does little more than to irritate the short-tempered kin. Thus far, we have no tales of the Harlequins, nor of the Inari factions making contact with the Leagues. But we do know that most of the kindreds will utterly despise and avoid contact with the Drukhari. This is understandable, for who would wish to make a deal with a group of depraved slavers whose only trade would be of pain and torture? Also, given the nature of the Drukhari, I would not be surprised to hear of a tale where they abducted a group of the kin, or perhaps sought to steal away a crucible, providing them with a limitless supply of clones to use and abuse. This, however, is mere myth for now, as there have been very few tomes and grimoires written on the topic of the leagues. Perhaps in the near future we will hear more on them, but for now we are forced to work with a fairly limited collection of source material. The Tau are another species which for the longest time also maintained fairly positive relations with the leagues. Trade deals were often struck, conflicts were typically avoided, and in fact, at one point, the Tau believed that a prospecting fleet of the kin were of a separate species, who they named as the Demiurge, and their ties became so strong that they were offered to join the Tau Empire as a client species. These kin, however, were content to remain in their current arrangement, where the two groups would routinely trade, whilst also maintaining a healthy distance from one another. Unfortunately, these relations may be at risk of collapsing, as we have noticed a sudden increase in small-scale conflicts fought between the two factions around the fringe region of the Chalnath expanse, possibly suggesting that a great war may be on the horizon. The Kin do not hold the Necrons to any high regard, and in fact, most of the Leagues will happily set out on a warpath to purge them from their territories. They will typically come into contact during a planet-wide excavation of a slumbering tomb world, which the Kin will occasionally target in their constant hunt for resources. Inevitably, their mining equipment will drill through the walls of the Necron tomb complex, forcing the undying legions to be roused from slumber and to defend themselves from the intrusive prospectors. The Tyranids will typically be avoided wherever possible by the Kin, and in fact, they have come to name their entire alien kind simply as the Bane. Apparently, however, there are stories of daring kindreds which have set out to hunt down isolated bioships with the goal of tearing open their bloated bellies to siphon off any valuable resources which could potentially be found within. As you can probably guess, the Leagues have absolutely zero interest in maintaining any form of contact with the followers of the Dark Gods. Those who serve Chaos are looked down upon in a sense of confused disgust, for how could one so readily give up their soul if the only recompense is madness? It is difficult to define the relationship between the Leagues of Votann and of the Imperium of Man as anything but frosty. The two empires are so vast and yet so disconnected that on one side of the galactic core, they may be embroiled within a brutal war, whereas on the other side, they may be signing a new century-long trade deal. Let us briefly recall that the Kin are indeed the distant cousins of mankind, but this familial connection is practically unknown to the Imperium. Instead, they broadly classify the Kin as being abhumans of an unknown origin, although most will refer to them as squats, which itself is more of a pejorative slur. Some of the more radical or xenophobic of subgroups, such as would be found within the ranks of the Inquisition or Astartes, are happy to label them as foul xenoscum, fit only to be slaughtered at the hands of a righteous agent. I previously mentioned that the Kin rejected the concept of the Emperor standing as a deity long ago, which is perhaps the primary reason as to why some within the Imperium see them as faithless mutants who should be punished for their mere existence. But beyond this, they similarly shunned the idea that he was the Omnissiah. And based on what we know of their relation with technology, we could extrapolate that they do not even believe in the existence of a machine god. Naturally, this puts them at odds with the Adeptus Mechanicus. The cultists of Mars see the Kin as ignorant scavengers who lack any form of respect for the technological marvels which they have come to possess. If they had the chance to do so, the Martians would launch their own expedition into the galactic core to tear apart the realm of these tech shamans and to pry their ancient relics out of their cold, dead hands. But should any other factions emerge within the galactic scene with offers of peace, then the Kin will assess their worth and, if profitable, then we can be sure that they will happily sign off on a brand new deal. When it comes to the Leagues of Votann, I believe that we have only just scratched the surface of what there is to truly know. We still only hold fairly limited records of their deeds, and yet even with our limited source material, we have uncovered much as to the nature of their empire. In a few years' time, I can only hope that we receive more tales from the galactic core, as it truly pains me to know that there is an entire empire lurking out in the galaxy that we know so little about. But whilst I have provided a general overview as to their faction today, we will soon need to return to learn of their military might, as the armies of the Kin, broadly named as the Kinhost, are nothing short of remarkable. Hardy bands of Hearthkin will advance as an unbreakable battle line, supported by Einar Exo-Walkers and immense land fortress tanks, surely destined to break their foes apart as though they were a brittle vein of ore. But that discussion will be for another day, and for now, my dearest friends, we have come to our end. Thank you all for listening to this sermon on the Leagues of Votann in its entirety, but I must now close this chapter once more. As always, your support is eternally appreciated, but as I go, I will wish you all with a warm goodbye.